Well, good morning, everybody. We're not officially in this series anymore, but I love that's my favorite one, so I just wanted to get that in there. And by the way, before we get going, I just want to say great job on, like, when we started the service, every single person sat in the bowl. So, like, this is, like, I'm so excited. I just want to give you guys all, like, a knuffelnautic. So, like, it's just great job, guys, for everybody kind of, and that allowed people to kind of, as they came in a little bit, to fill in the back. But thank you guys so much. It is so good to see you guys all up close. So, anyway, my name is Nathan. I'm the pastor here at Genesis Boyne. And last year, one of the things that we had you guys do, we had you write in questions. Questions you had about anything in the world, the Bible, Christianity, church, whatever else it is you want to know. And our goal is to get through all of them by next year. We're about 130 in at this point, but we're going to try to get through them all by next year. And today's questions that you guys asked, they relate both to our Okay Is Not Okay series, which is why we kind of put that in. But oddly enough, they also fit perfectly into how to Build a Ship series we did in September and October. So for this sermon, I have a goal. I have a couple of goals. Based on your questions. The first goal is for you to be able to evaluate a relationship and come away with some good advice should someone ever come up to you and ask for relationship help. The second thing is for you to be able to evaluate your relationship with God or with your spouse and see if there's an area that you need to pour into a little bit more. And because it's a little bit odd, if you think about it, that we tend to think of our relationship with God and our relationship with, say, our spouse as kind of completely different things. But they're actually very similar. And if you'll think of them in the same way, it's much easier to gauge how you're doing with either one. So let's go ahead. We'll start out with a verse that's going to help put these questions into context. Proverbs 16:2. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. And what you'll soon see with these five questions is a theme of motives. What are the motives of the people who are asking the questions? And what are your motives in your relationships? And as always, these are your questions. Question number one, am I a good Christian even though I hardly ever pray? It's going to go with question number two. I don't often read the Bible because I'm just really, really busy with work. But I'll tell you what, I do give generously to make up for it. So, like, am I good with God? And I love this question because at least the person's honest. They're like, hey, I'm busy. Can I just give a bunch of money instead? Is that going to work itself out? Question number three. I live paycheck to paycheck. Can I still love God without having to give? Question number four, can you be a strong believer if you seldom attend Sunday services? And we'll just go ahead and throw in one more for good measure. I serve people all week long in my job. So when it comes to church, I just want to sit back, chill, relax, enjoy worship. I don't want to have to serve more. I know you've said it's important to serve, but is it okay if I just don't? And this one's also an encouraging question because at least they've heard us talk about serving enough to ask the question. So what I want to do is I want to take all five of these questions and I want to roll them into one mega question. The question is, can I have a good relationship with God if I seldom or if I don't fill in the blank? And Joshua 23:11 says it this way, be very careful to love God, the Lord your God. And that's a great verse to use because all of these questions revolve around that motive. They revolve around how we love God. Now, remember, we're also doing a twofold idea here. So we're trying to also get into a good relationship with our spouse. So we're going to modify this question just a little bit, and it would make the question look like this. Can I have a good relationship with my spouse if I seldom or don't fill in the blank? So it's with those questions in mind, we're going to look at these from an okay is not okay perspective and a how to build a ship context. Let's just go back. First question, can I have a good relationship with God if I seldom or don't pray? So, you know, a lot of us are like, well, you know, I just don't have time, necessarily have time to do that. But if someone came up to you this week and they asked you the question, can I have a good relationship with my spouse if I seldom or I don't talk to them or listen to them? You're going to be like, are you kidding me? Like, is this like an April Fool's Day thing? Because question two is very similar when you put it into the marriage context. We ask, can I have a good relationship with God if I seldom or don't read my Bible? But again, if you're sitting there and you're chatting with your neighbor this weekend, and they're like, hey, can I have a good relationship with my spouse if I don't know anything about them? It's not going to take you very long to figure out this answer. You're not going to have a strong relationship with your spouse if you don't talk or listen to them, because you're missing a pretty crucial part of a loving relationship. Similarly, like, how in the world do you manage to have a strong relationship with your spouse if you don't know anything about them? Like, how weird is that marriage going to be? Now, here's the thing that I need to address, because if you recall, there was a second part of this particular question. The second part of this question was, can I have a good relationship with God if I seldom or don't read my Bible, but I give generously to make up for it? The person asking this question is trying to barter. They're trying to barter with God. And for those of you who might not remember what bartering is where you trade off one thing for another. And a lot of people like to try this with God. They're like, okay, I'm going to trade you, God. I want your love, and I will give you money. God, I'll trade you. I'll take salvation, and you can have my works. I'll just work really, really, really hard. They try to make these trades that they feel like God can use something that they have that they think is a value. Well, here's what Peter says about people who try to barter with God. This is Acts 8:20. May your money be destroyed with you for thinking that God's gift can be bought. Like, okay, well, that did not go well. And that's because bartering doesn't work well with God. And it doesn't work well in your marriage. You can buy your wife a diamond ring. She may love it, but it's not going to make up for years of ignoring her. And some of you guys who have tried this, you know that's true. You can't barter. And it's the same with God. You may read your Bible from front to back every single year, but if you refuse to serve, you're bartering. You may pray for hours every single day, but if you refuse to go engage others, share God's love with others, you're trying to barter. And bartering doesn't work with God. You can't buy his love, and you can't buy salvation. Now, I realize by this point we're starting to get a little bit heavy, so let's do one of your lighter questions. We'll kind of keep it on a money theme, though. What is one subject you think everyone should learn in school but don't? Okay, I've actually had to think about this. I've got three. Number three, how to apply for a job, especially in college. I spent tens of thousands of dollars on my degree, and they gave me a wonderful education, but they didn't tell me how to actually get the job, which would have been really useful to know. Because it's like, it's one of those things, it's nice to actually know how to write a resume, how to interview, how to do those particular things. Number two, how to communicate. And we just did a whole sermon series on this in September. But coming out of high school, being able to just understand how different personalities work and how to communicate best with them, like, it would have saved me a ton of trial by fire over the last few years. But I'd say my number one by far is how to handle your finances. This is actually the biggest thing that Americans struggle with coming out of school. It's handling their money. It's not accumulating wealth, by the way. In fact, America is one of the wealthiest countries in the entire world. I was doing some research this week. America's poverty line still would mean that you're amongst the wealthiest people in almost any other country in the nation or in the world. The poverty line in America is $1,000 a month, which seems really, really tight until you get to the average income for over half the world, $912 per year. And if you're thinking, you can't live off of $912 a year, it is impossible. I would say try telling that to 4 billion people. So if the poorest people in our country would be amongst the wealthiest people almost anywhere else in the world, it's not about making money. It's not making money that's our problem. It's how to manage the blessings that we have been given. And the Bible talks about this time and time again, being good stewards of what we're blessed with. Yet, we come out of school and we've never taken a single class on how to be good stewards of what we have, how to manage our money. So parents, please teach your kids how to be good stewards. And if you don't know how, take a class or do something yourself. They have things like financial peace almost every single year in this area. I would highly, highly, Jenny and I have taken it a dozen times. I mean, it is one of those things I would highly recommend, and it may be inconvenient for you, but do it because it is a biblical calling that we know how to handle the blessings that we've been given. And this is actually going to perfectly tie into our next question. I live paycheck to paycheck. Can I still have a good relationship with God if I just don't give? Now, I guess most of us, when I kind of thought of this initially, I would guess most of us thought, you know, the person who wrote that, they probably are poor. However, a recent study from this year shows that 4 out of every 5 Americans, so 80% of us, live paycheck to paycheck. No matter what financial level you're at, those numbers work out just about the same. Which means a lot of us just need to get our spending under control. Hebrews 13:5 says it this way. We can't love money. We need to be satisfied with what we have, with what God has given us. And we get to this point where we have too many needs in our lives. I just had a really fun conversation with my nephew. He's 2. And Amazon sent him a book of toys. And so it was a Skype call. And he spent the entire 45 minutes pointing at things in there and saying, I need that. I need that. I need that. I need that. And I told my brother, he's a perfectly good American. He has figured this entire thing out. But we're never satisfied. We always want a little bit more, a little bit better. And it's draining us dollar by dollar, forcing us to live paycheck to paycheck. But let's also put this back in like we have with the other ones. Let's put it into the marriage context. So if your coworker stops by your cubicle tomorrow and he's like, hey, do you think I can have a good relationship with my spouse if I always take care of my needs instead of taking care of their needs? Again, you're not going to have to ponder this thing for hours. You know the answer already. Well, let's just go ahead and play it out because it really represents a particular verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:24, that we give freely, and by that we become more wealthy. But if we're stingy, we're going to lose everything. And one of the caveats I want to make with this specific verse is, don't think that wealth in this case always comes financially. Sometimes wealth just comes from the love and the joy that you receive from your generosity, from taking care of others, from being part of fulfilling the Great Commission and loving our neighbors. You can't be selfish. You can't be selfish, especially with those that you love. I mean, I'm not saying that you need to buy your husband a $1,000 suit. But how do you think it's going to look if your husband's wearing like secondhand clothes with holes in them and you're buying your 13th Gucci purse? It's not going to fly. But this one, I find a little bit of a different question, because in most of the previous scenarios, we think about it being like, okay, this is my money and I am allowing my spouse to have it. It's your money that you earned, that you're spending on them. But what if we flip this around? Like, what if this was all their money? What if this was all your spouse's money? What if your spouse made all the money, but they loved you, so they let you manage it? Then how's it going to look if your wife needs to fix her broken arm, but you decide to take her money and fix your broken boat instead? Yeah, it's not going to go well. And even if you're one of those Americans that's living at that $1,000 threshold, you're living at that poverty line. It doesn't change. Being in poverty doesn't relieve you of the responsibility of at least trying to take care of those that you love. Does it? No, of course it doesn't. I mean, no matter what financial level you're at, I would almost guarantee that you're going to try to take care of who you love. The question is, who do you love? I mean, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's God, maybe it's just yourself. But you're going to take care of who you love. Now, I think you're catching on to the idea, but we've got a couple more questions we need to do. Question number 4, can I have a good relationship with God if I seldom or don't attend church? Well, showing up to church to me is kind of like going out on a date. It's that public display of affection that we have. So if at Thanksgiving you're having your turkey, your cousin nudges you and they're like, hey, I got a question. Can I have a good relationship with my spouse if I seldom or don't ever go out on dates with them? You're going to look at them like they're nuts because you know what the answer is. If you constantly say to your spouse, look, I'm busy, I'm tired, I'd love to go to a movie, but quite frankly, I'm worn out, it's an inconvenience, and it's something I don't want to deal with today, honey. Over the long run, hey, I get it. Everybody's tired sometimes. But over the long run, that's going to create problems in your relationship because of your lack of desire to invest. Being out together on dates is a great way to escape that normal rhythm that you have and celebrate your love publicly. Psalms 150, verse 1, says it this way when relating to God, that we need to praise the Lord and that we praise God in his sanctuary. So just like the money, how you spend your time, it's going to show you who you love. Be it your spouse, be it your kids, be it your job, be it God, or be it just yourself. And speaking of spending time with those that you love, we all know the holiday season's coming up. And with that comes your next random question that I've been waiting for the holiday season to come up for. What is your favorite holiday tradition? Well, for decades, my family has had a Christmas Eve tradition. So we go to the Christmas Eve service. Then we come home, we have dinner, and then we get to open as a family one present. And that present is a game. And then we all spend the evening playing that game together. Isn't that sweet? That's a great idea. I would recommend it for you guys. But there's actually... and I'm probably going to regret saying this, there's actually a second part of our family tradition. And it's a little bit stranger. Because my mom, let's just say that she's like a tiny bit competitive. So what tends to happen is one of two things. Either mom wins and she gloats so much that by the second or third game we put the game away and we don't ever play it again. Or option number 2 is my mom loses so much that she becomes grumpy and by the second or third game we put it away and don't ever play it again. So, but the thing is, our family knows this, and so just like getting the game, the grumpy and gloaty is also part of the family tradition. And FYI, I completely know that I'm going to get a call about from a certain someone in my life this week. Mom has mellowed out. I promise, Mom has mellowed out. She's fun to play games with. She would love to kick your butt in Mario Kart. So feel free. Anybody come over. She will take care of you. But Mom, I love you. You're the best. Hopefully that'll cover me. Okay, so back to the other questions. I was like, can I say this? Maybe Mom will just forget to listen to this week. But Dad will listen to this week and then tell Mom, and then I'm going to get a call. All right, so anyway, question number 5. At my work, I serve people all week long. So when I come to church, I just want to relax. I want to chill. I want to enjoy worship. I don't want to have to serve more. Now, I know you've said it's important to serve. But can I have a good relationship with God if I just don't? I don't serve. And I think by this point, you've kind of caught on to how this goes. But let's put it into the marriage context of what happens if you're reading a relationship blog this week. And the person asked this: can I have a good relationship with my spouse if I seldom or don't serve them or care for them? You don't have to read the rest of the article because you got the question down pat. In our marriage, we know the answer. When it comes to our relationship with God, we try to justify the answer. But if you come home from a hard day's work, you plop on the couch, you don't move the entire night, it can happen every now and then. But over the long haul, it's not going to go well. 1 Samuel 12:24. Be sure to fear the Lord and faithfully make sure that you are serving him. I mean, think of all of the wonderful things that he has done for you. If you never serve your spouse, if you always make them take care of you, serve you, it's not going to build a healthy relationship. And similarly, God has done and done and done and done and done and done for us. So even though we have a hard week at work, there you go, saying that we'll spend 1 hour a month helping with setup, we'll spend 1 hour a month loving on our next generation, loving on kids, it's not going to drive us into exhaustion. Or at least it shouldn't. I mean, I'll go ahead and just throw this out there. If you feel like, you genuinely feel like serving 1 hour a month will drive you into sheer and utter exhaustion, I would say you seriously need to reconsider your life. If you can't contribute to the life of your spouse or your kids or your church because something has become all-encompassing, whatever that thing is, you need to reevaluate your life. Because long-term, that's not healthy for you. And it's not going to be healthy for any of your relationships. So as you can see, we've worked through 5 different questions. And when it comes to relationships, either with God or with your spouse, the idea is very similar. You can't just talk to them and never listen. You can't learn about them but never lift a finger to help them. You can't just toss money at the problem and never go out on dates with them. You've got to be able to talk and listen and date and serve and take care of them financially. If you want a good, healthy relationship with God, with your spouse, you have to commit to all aspects of the relationship. And perhaps you were looking through some of those questions, either with your spouse or with God, and you realize, you know what? I need to pour in. I need to pour a little bit more into this area. This is an area I've actually been weak at. Either with God, with your spouse. And that's going to bring us to our final question. And I just also condensed this one. Question number 6. Quite a few different people asked this question. How much should I fill in the blank to have a good relationship with God or with my spouse? And for the first time in 130 questions, I'm going to give you an answer that I haven't given. I don't know. I can't say how many chores you should be helping with. I can't say how many dates you should be going on. I can't say how much time you need to be spending talking and listening to your spouse. I don't have a clue. But I do know someone who can help you with that. Your spouse. Don't try to tell your spouse what you think that they should want. Talk to them. Listen to them. And between you and your spouse, you'll figure out the healthy rhythm. You'll have a healthy, loving relationship. Now, similarly, I can't tell you how much you should be doing with God. I mean, all my seminary training, and I cannot give you a specific number on how much you should be serving, how much you should be reading your Bible, how much you should be giving, how much you should be attending service, How much you should be participating in outreach? I don't know. I genuinely cannot say. But, again, I do know someone who can help you out with that. God. Don't try to tell God what you think he should want. Talk to him. Listen to him. And between you and God, you'll figure out how to have that healthy relationship. Here's how we generally phrase it here at Genesis Point. It's the simple, super simple, two-step process to help you answer all of those questions. You pray about it, and you do what God says. Not a single thing less, not a single thing more. You line up, you pray about it, and you do what God says. Deuteronomy 13:4 says it this way, that you serve the Lord your God, and that you fear him alone. Obey his commands, listen to his voice, and cling to him. That's our key answer for so many questions here at Genesis Point. You pray about it, you do what God says, and you will never go wrong in your relationship. You see, like I said, I can't do it. I can't give you a how much should you, because this isn't about a checkbox. This isn't about works. It's about a relationship. It isn't about the actions that you do. It's about the heart that's behind the actions. It's about your heart. Proverbs 23:6 says it this way. Oh, my son, please give me your heart. May your eyes take delight. Take delight in following my ways. And that, I love this verse. It's such a great perspective to have. I mean, just think about just delighting in God, knowing that we get the opportunity to give God our hearts, and we get the opportunity to take delight in following his ideas or his ways. Like, I love this, and I hope that each of us, specifically this week, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, that we can recognize the joy that we have in God, that we can delight in God's goodness. We can delight in what he's given us. That we can be thankful for how he loves us. And that we will faithfully give him our hearts and love him in return. Let's pray. God, man, how you love us. Like, I don't know how to, fathom it. I pray that we can love you in return. That we can delight in who you are. That we can remember that you are what brings us joy, that you are what brings our hearts peace. I pray that we can just be blown away, blown away by who you are and by how much you love us. And we are constantly finding ways that we can love you more, that we can love you better, that we can love you more fully. And I pray that we can stand together, that we can sing of your love for us, that you love us. Oh, how you love us, that you love us so. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.